President Trump's campaign manager says they will request a recount in Wisconsin, where Democratic nominee Joe Biden currently leads by less than a percentage point. And votes are still being counted in other key states, including Georgia, Nevada, North Carolina, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Let's take a closer look at how and what we know so far with Ron Elving, NPR senior editor and correspondent. And Ron, this race remains very close. What's the latest in some of those key states?
Since the news about Wisconsin, people have turned their attention primarily to Michigan, which is just across Lake Michigan, and where they have quite a few ballots yet to count, and where Joe Biden already has a lead somewhere in the 40s of thousands. It's sometimes been up around 50,000. So the question is, where are those votes coming from that have still to be counted? And the answer is largely Wayne County, and that is Detroit. And there are some other more populous areas, too. So that one is looking pretty good for Joe Biden, although we do not know yet, and it has not been called. But we're just saying that Michigan is another prospect for him. And then there's Nevada, and you've already talked to people about Nevada in this hour. And I think that Nevada is a very interesting place, but that's a very narrow lead, about 7,000 or 8,000 votes. And we're going to know more tomorrow around noon when they start reporting on the mailed-in ballots. So if the mailed-in ballots there are good news for Joe Biden, as they've been elsewhere, then we shall see. Now, Arizona is the other state that people are really poring over at this hour. And that has been called by some news organizations, including ours, for Joe Biden, but it is based on projections about the vote coming in from Maricopa County, which is the main metro county there around Phoenix. So that might change. We still don't know. And some Republicans are holding out a lot of hope, and the president's certainly holding out hope, that Arizona can still be won for his column.
Sure. I want to ask you about something else. So the Trump campaign is claiming that they've been denied meaningful access to vote counting in at least four of these states, Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. Is there any evidence this is actually happening, and what kind of access are campaigns supposed to get during this time of vote counting?
Campaigns, generally speaking, have observers, both in terms of the polling places, also in terms of the places where the count is made. It's not as though absolutely every ballot has to be looked over by representatives of every campaign. We did see some of that in Florida in the year 2000, and you may remember those 5 weeks of counting and recounting and trying to recount. Generally speaking, that is not what goes on. People have adequate access, and there are officials there, and those officials are people who have established reputations for being impartial. Now, there can be disputes about that, and there probably will be in this instance, particularly in Wisconsin and Michigan. We should probably also mention that the vote total is, the margin rather, is narrowing in Georgia, which is one that most people expected Donald Trump to win pretty easily. It's down to something like 80,000 votes, and there are still quite a few ballots to be counted there as well.
You touched on Nevada, and a significant portion of the vote is still being counted. Nevada sent every registered voter a mail-in ballot automatically amid this pandemic. I'm just wondering, how are both campaigns looking at all of those ballots that still have yet to be counted?
They're looking at them very differently. The Democrats are looking at them hopefully, thinking that people who voted by mail, by and large, seem to have voted for Joe Biden. After all, the Biden campaign said, be safe. Don't go to the polls if you're worried about the pandemic. Vote by mail. That's why a lot of Democratic states mailed out those automatic ballots to people so that they could do that. And of course, they also suggested that people might want to vote early in person where there are fewer crowds. Don't stand in line. And that seems to have happened in many states. All parts of the country seem to have had that experience. So the Biden people are looking at mailed-in ballots pretty hopefully, but the Republicans are looking at them quite suspiciously. And as you say, they've already filed some lawsuits. They're already challenging the way those ballots were handled in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, for example, a key Democratic county there. So there's going to be some dispute before we get to the Electoral College, no matter what else happens in some of these other states.
Yeah, really quickly, let's look at some of the congressional races. Democrats won the House, but they had hoped to expand their majority, which was narrowed. Why did Democrats come up short of those expectations?
It appears that the polling was very bad in many places, in many instances, not just at the state level, the national level, but also at the district level. And the Democrats probably misallocated their resources. They may have also put too much emphasis on the wrong issues. There's some evidence that they overemphasized health care, and there were many other things people were caring about. They also had a lot of exposed first-term, second-term members who were elected, say, in 2016 or 2018, especially the latter, who were facing voters for the first time. And that's often when a House incumbent is at maximum vulnerability.
Yeah, on the Senate side, Democrats picked up a seat in Colorado but lost one in Alabama. There's also what happened in Maine. Why did all the money fail to make an impact?
That's something the Democrats are going to have to ask themselves again and again and again. How could they have spent so much money and come up with so little to show for it? Iowa is another example, and there are mm-hmm. others around the country. So we'll see, but it doesn't look like the Democrats have any path now to the majority in the Senate.
That's NPR senior editor and correspondent Ron Elving. As always, thank you.